Welcome to the Step-by-Step Wedding Prep Podcast by Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley, the weekly show that makes wedding planning fun again. Here, you'll go from planning panic, that constant sense of feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, and needing to please those around you, to being in control again, feeling confident, encouraged, and calm in planning the day you've always dreamed of. From interviews with industry experts to firsthand planning tips and more, you'll learn ways to make wedding planning easy, affordable, and as stress-free as possible. Now here's your host, Felicia Zammit McMahon.
Hello, and welcome back to the show, where we teach you everything you need to know to plan your wedding like a pro. This is episode number 8, and every Wednesday, I'll be answering the most commonly asked questions couples have when it comes to planning their wedding, and bringing you expert advice from the most amazing wedding professionals in the industry. Weddings have gotten overly stressful and complicated, and my goal with this podcast is to give you all the tools and to educate you on all the topics so that you have the right knowledge going into it and can plan your wedding with ease. Now, like most everybody listening, this is probably the first time you're planning a wedding, and with that comes a huge learning curve, which is often the cause of what I like to call planning panic. I felt it too, and because of that, I want to help you shorten that learning curve to take the overwhelm out of planning and to make it as fun and as stress-free as possible. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for being here, and I encourage you to go back through past episodes, subscribe to the show in Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or Stitcher, and follow us over at stepbystepweddingprep.com. So, a couple episodes ago, we discussed how to handle and tackle the task of rescheduling your wedding during this coronavirus pandemic. And today, we're going to dive deeper into that subject. And to help us do that, we have the Director of Sales for the Benora Hospitality Group, Margaret Brower. She is a planning powerhouse, having planned over 3,200 weddings in the Hudson Valley and Long Island combined. And her experience has also led her to speaking engagements at prestigious hospitality conferences all over the country. So today I'd like to share with you a conversation that I had with Margaret, where we dive deeper into what rescheduling your wedding really looks like. And we discuss so many things that sort of have a trickle-down effect from the thought of, okay, I'm going to reschedule my wedding to now what? And there's lots of things in this conversation that you may not have thought about before, but are going to be really helpful for you going forward. So without further ado, enjoy our conversation. Hi, Margaret. Welcome.
Hi, Felicia. How are you? Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm so happy to have you here because I wanted to have you on the show as soon as I could to get your insights on what's happening in the wedding industry right now. With the coronavirus pandemic going on, there's a lot going on in the wedding industry, and I wanted to have you on to kind of get your insights and to give all the couples out there who have had to reschedule their wedding some guidance and reassurance as we all kind of tackle this unknown together.
Well, thank you again for having me. Kudos to you, because what an amazing thing to offer Hudson Valley wedding couples, and really all wedding couples, to have a resource like this to hear what else is happening out there and what's happening to other couples who are in the same boat. I think that this experience can be really isolating, where couples are going through this and not sure, how am I supposed to be navigating it? Are my emotions valid that I'm feeling, and all the other external emotions that people are having, family, guests, all of that? It's kind of like, I think of it as like a tidal wave, right? You come out from this wave, and then another bout of questions will come and crash over you, and then the emotions run high and low. And I think having a place where you can just hear other points of view and say, okay, really, what are we looking at? Let's take a breath and examine what it takes if you want to postpone postpone or reschedule your wedding, and what are some good tips on that?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, obviously nobody planned for this, you know, if anything, you're usually like planning, like, you know, for bad weather or something like that, but nothing like this. So, you know, it's sort of, you know, everyone's kind of dealing with it, and everybody sort of deals with it in their own way. And like you said, you know, it can be very isolating, but in the same sense, it's also in a strange way, a little comforting knowing that you're not the only one going through it.
Absolutely. This is a time that you realize that the people that you have hired to host your day and have all these great components in this amazing part of your life, you hired them because you have trust in them. And that means that you should not only lean on them and ask advice in this great, glorious time, but you should also lean on them when things aren't perfect, because they are professionals and they do have experience. None of us have experience with what's going on right now. This is new for all of us. But what you will find is everyone wants the most positive outcome. Everyone wants to host this wedding. You know, whatever it takes, whatever resources we have to put into it, whether it's the day that you planned or a postponed day, all of your venue, your everyone from your photographer and your florist and your makeup artist, and not only you as a couple, but your family and your guests, everyone is in the same boat of wanting it to be the best for you. And I've never seen such amazing understanding and patience and kindness in people that I have in the last 2 weeks. It's been such an amazing experience, a sad experience in some regard, you know, for the troubles that people are going through, businesses and clients together. But the real beautiful silver lining is seeing the humanity in all working together.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm seeing it too. I mean, you know, like you said, everybody wants this to happen, and they're going to do whatever it takes to make it. So. Yeah. Now, you know, what have you seen? Like, are couples mainly rescheduling? Are they canceling? What's been going on with them? And how have you been handling the onslaught of requests?
Great. I'd love to talk to you about this. So I was actually at CaterSource in Las Vegas when the first Orange County executive order came out that we weren't able to do events. We were suggested not to do them for 14 days. So that impacted two of our venues, West Hills Country Club and Anthony's Pier 9. So we, as a team of the Nora Hospitality Group, we flew back early and started fielding all of these. Are we going to do the event? Are we not going to do the event? Because the ban was not there yet. It was just a suggestion. And as time has gone on, you know, it went from Orange County to Dutchess County to just now New York State on this ban. So I am the point person for our venues to talk with the couples and go over what are their options. So in these last 2 weeks, I probably, out of the 600 weddings this year, I probably talked personally to 250 of the couples, and then times whomever else in the family needed some guidance, I'm happy to be there for them too. So it's been, when you say like, how are couples handling this, there has been a pendulum that it's hard to put into words because everyone handles these things differently. And couples, they work through crisis a little differently too. So on the one end, everyone has questions, okay? I think it's important to know that you have a right to ask all of these questions. You should be asking the what ifs, even if you plan on going forth with your planned day. It's good to see, okay, I have all the intention of going through with my June, August, fall, spring 2021 wedding, but what are my options? So that's the first thing that I'm explaining to all the couples, what their options. For Benora Hospitality, our plan is if we are not told by local, state, or national officials that we cannot open, that there is not a ban on their event, we're able to be here, then we are going forward with their event. That's mm-hmm. our first option. If we're able, we're going forward. Now, having said that, there are couples out there that have guests who have travel restrictions or older guests that are not comfortable going into big spaces or guests that have that are immune compromised, then that is going to affect guest count. So we need to be flexible with that. So I would advise if you plan on going forward with your events, you should ask your venue, talk about what about the minimums. I promise this amount of many people, are you going to be flexible with that? On our end, we are flexible with that. So that's a good question to ask.
Because, you know, depending on where our listeners are listening from, you know, in New York, many of the venues have guest minimums. So that's a really interesting question. So, like, what are some ways that they can accommodate that minimum? You know, like if they had planned for like 125 people, but maybe only, you know, 90 are going to show up now, you know, what happens then?
Okay, so I imagine that each place is going to have their own rules to this. So look at your agreement first and see what you've promised. Now, we are going outside of our agreements, meaning we're just being flexible on what our verbiage is saying. And that means that we've promised, in your case, you promised 125 people, you're only going to have 90. We work to a mutually agreed upon minimum. So if that was the case, then we would just say you're going to pay for the 90 guests. Even though you promised us 125, we're going to go with the 90. But then what will happen is as our guest count gets lower, maybe the menu doesn't make sense anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe you only have 50 guests. You want to go forward with your day, but we've planned a menu for 125. That's where there's going to be this mutual give and take on, yes, you'll be responsible for your account, but maybe we make your menu a little more appropriate for the 50.
Yeah, it's almost like it's like a trickle-down effect because it's not just like you're changing your date. I mean, you're changing everything, you know, it's almost like you're planning another wedding in a sense because it's not your original plan. It's a different plan. Now you're looking at different guest counts and you're looking at different menus, like you said, and, you know, all these things, it's like a trickle-down effect. So while on the surface, it may just seem like, oh, it's, you know, it's easy. We'll just, you know, give them a different date and then have everything the way it was, you know, or the way it was supposed to be on that date. You know, it may not happen that way. So that's a good, good thing for couples to know that, you know, there's all these little tiny details that you might not think of right away.
And this can really make a solid impact on your decision making, whether to go forward or not. So to give you some examples, I have one couple at the end of May. We talked it out. They just wanted to get, okay, what are our options? All of our family is local. I don't have many older guests. I did like kind of like a surface. What are people thinking? They're all going to come if they could come, you know, if you're open. We're good. We're going to wait it out and see what happens. That makes sense for that couple. My couple in September, where most of their family is coming from Europe.
Oh, wow.
For them, it made sense to postpone into 2021 because so much goes into their guests' response of yes. So they made a proactive decision to say, you know what? We're going to postpone our day. We're going to take us as a venue. If someone wants to postpone their date, we will absolutely do that without penalty. And we'll take everything that they planned and we'll move it to a mutually agreed upon date. And now check with your venue and your vendors that's a possibility. So for them, that made sense for their guests. And what I experience with couples that make that decision where they say, okay, if I have the wedding now and my guest count will be substantially lower, you know, we don't really want to do it without the people that wouldn't be able to make it. So they're making the conscious decision to postpone. And that's something that's right for them. So I think everyone really has to have that conversation. It's so personal on what is our family, our guest list look like, and what would be best for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, and you make a good point too, because, you know, well, you make a couple good points. So like, first of all, you know, even though like your wedding could be later in the year in 2020, like September, October, you know, who know, like nobody knows how long this is going to last. And even if it doesn't last that long, it's going to take a long time for, I feel like, people to feel safe again, to travel and, to, you know, to be with others. You know, I think it's going to take a while for people to sort of come out of this. So you bring up a good point. So even if your wedding is, you know, later in the year, you may want to, you know, think about, and like you said, it's a personal decision, you know, for each couple,
sure.
But you know, you may want to think about maybe postponing it another year just until everything sort of settles down and everybody kind of gets back on their feet again.
Yes. There are those preliminary conversations. Are people going to want to go out into a public space again? And then there is the adverse to that, which is come, you know, a few months from now, when people have been in their homes for this long, are people going to be dancing in the street and wanting to be together and have a celebration that this is over and be able to have something so happy where they could come together and celebrate? So that's like the flip of the coin. I think that there will be more of that. And this is just my personal opinion, not my wedding expert opinion, but my personal opinion. I think that we're going to find more of that than people taking shelter for years to come.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, like, you know, once this is over and people could go, I think people are going to be celebrating and just like, you know, living it up. But, you know, and you also make another good point too, you know, when you talk about like family members and travel restrictions, and you know, it may be a deal breaker. Like if somebody in your family can't make it, that could be a deal breaker for you to say, hey, you know what? I can't go ahead with this unless that person's there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's all these factors that you have to think about. Now, outside of, you know, the venue, what are next steps in terms of, like planning and planning strategies? Like once they've worked with the venue or worked with you to determine, you know, the next date, what are like the next steps in terms of like their vendors and reaching out to their guests? Or do you have any like specific strategies for them to sort of take them to that next step?
Absolutely. So one thing I would recommend before you solidify a date with your venue, and that's where I would recommend you start. But before you solidify that date, you really want to talk with your vendor partners. We are all in this together. So if you have given deposits to your florist and your photographer and your DJ and all of the other professionals that you're working with, I would have get availability from your venue and then talk availability with your vendors. And then also understand that that availability might change. So if you were talking with your venue and you got this list of dates, know that we are all in this together and a lot of people are getting available dates. So the next time, that piece of advice is not to alarm people to hurry up and make a decision. It's just a real issue that's going on that most people are asking for availability. So some are making moves sooner than others, and some are sticking with their date sooner than others. But I would check with vendor partners to see not only what is their availability, but if they are able to move their deposits. So after you get availability from both your vendors and your venue, coordinate with them on a great day that would satisfy you and satisfy your partners. And then move forward and say, okay, we made our decision. We're going to move to a new day. Sign your associated paperwork that you have to sign with your venue and your vendors. And then, depending on how close you are to your day, you need to start making some decisions, right? Because if your wedding was planned for the end of April, the beginning of May, something like that, and you've already sent out your invitations, that task of moving your guests and notifying them could be really daunting. This is what I would recommend. Grab your wedding party. These are the people that said that they were going to stand up for you and help you. They're the people who want to help you in this time. So take your list of the people you have to notify. If you have two bridesmaids and two groomsmen, and the two of you, split your list into six. Tell your wedding party what you want them to communicate, and then make a phone call to everyone. So instead of 180 people you have to speak with, you can break that into however many people are in your wedding party, and it's so much more manageable in notifying guests.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I don't think a couple should be handling alone. Like, the more help that they could get in terms of like notifying guests, the better, because, you know, it's a daunting task in a normal situation.
Yeah.
And, now you're having to reschedule everything. So the more help you can use, the better. And that's what your bridal party is there for. They're there to help you with all these planning strategies.
Sure. I heard Mike post, who is the general manager of Anthony's Pier 9 and my dear friend, he made a suggestion to a wedding couple the other day and said, get a private Facebook group going with the people that are going to help you. And then you could tackle your tasks one by one and have them volunteer to help you in things. Would anyone be willing to blank and have them step up to the plate without having you have to delegate to them? And
that's the great idea.
Yeah. I was like, what a great idea that is. So I'm trying to pass that along.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Now, if a couple, let's just say, they are going to reschedule. Mm-hmm. But let's just say, April 10th, for some reason, is a very specific, important date for them. And they're going to reschedule, but they want that same date for a different year. What advice do you have? Because, weddings are booked so far in advance, mm-hmm. they may have to wait quite a while for that date to come back. And not only that, but that date could fall on a Wednesday or something.
Right.
So what is your advice to somebody who might be stuck on a date mm-hmm. and, how can they navigate that?
Okay. So I would make two columns, right? The things that we're willing to compromise on and the things that we're not willing to compromise on. And maybe it is April 10th, the actual 4/10 is important to us, or maybe it's a Saturday night, or maybe it's a season or something like that. We have a spring themed wedding and we don't want to move it outside of that window. So maybe we'll do next spring, or it's just a date for us. So what I would say is talk about as a couple what is most important. And then you talk with your venue and say, okay, 4/10 is our day. It's a Friday this year. It's a Saturday next year. One, is it available or is it not? Two, is there a price change, or reduction? So maybe it is something that will be more expensive or less expensive based upon where it falls in the following year, and talk with your venue if there is a change. Are we okay with that change? Do we want to spend a little more money the following year to get what we want? Or should we plan for that same time of year and still pick a Friday, let's say? Another question you want to ask yourself is, am I okay with a weekday? I cannot tell you how many of our couples have moved to a Monday through Thursday night. And it's been amazing for the couple to say, you know what, we're going to push it out just a few months, and fall, especially in the Northeast, is such a gorgeous time of year. So there might not have been a lot of availability going in, spring in the same year for fall that same year. So going into a Thursday. And then for those that say, are people going to come to my wedding on a Thursday night? Well, think of yourself as a guest. If your friend or family member just went through this and had to move their day and moved it to the best date that they could on a weekday, would you go or would you not? And what I have not heard anyone to say, I'm not going to that wedding, it's on a Thursday.
Right.
No way. You know, it is, people are rallying around couples right now to make the best decisions for them. And what I think is going to happen, I mean, in the last couple of years, anyway, weekday weddings have become very popular. But if it's something that works for you, I really, in my heart, feel like it's going to work for your guests.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point too, because it goes kind of beyond just changing the date, you know, depending, you know, if it was on, like, if your original date was a Thursday and then you wait for the next year and it's on a Saturday or, you know, a Friday, that could affect the price. And also the opposite could be true too. You know, if your wedding originally was Friday or Saturday, and now you're looking at like a Monday or Tuesday, you're looking at, you know, quite a big price deduction there. So, so there's a lot of things, you know, when you make that column to take into consideration, you know, the pros and cons of it all. So now, you know, I kind of wanted to talk about like the emotional effect of all of this. You know, obviously this is heartbreaking for a lot of couples, and, you know, and I'm sure they're feeling, you know, very deflated and angry and upset. You know, maybe some of them are just kind of going with the flow and it's not really affecting them at all, but you know, for those couples that do feel that sense of disappointment, what have you been telling couples, and how have you helped them emotionally get through this? Because I feel like all their vendors and the venue, I feel like they've all sort of become their emotional support as well through all this. So,
yeah.
So what advice do you have?
You're so right. So first, I want to shout out to my couples right now. Because we really are in this together. These last 2 weeks, I feel like we are joined at the heart, because it is emotional. The first thing that I would say is, it's okay. You can be deflated and angry and upset and disappointed and scared and all of those things. And it's so easy for someone to say to you, you know, like, oh, it's just a wedding, or at least you're healthy, or all those things. Wedding planning is emotional. You put so much of your heart and love into the planning process. You want it great for the two of you, but also for all the people who are attending. And then this tidal wave comes and like changes all that for you. So let yourself have your time of what you're feeling. It's valid. And don't let anyone take that away from you. And then surround yourself with people who will let you have your moment of all of those things, and then be a little proactive, okay? Because you can sit in the sorrow, and it could be some wasted time if, you know, back to your last question, if April 10th was an important day for you, or if you want a Friday in the fall or something like that. So if you're not able to make those calls, then find someone who can. Talk with your parents, talk with your sisters, and have someone advocate for you, because it's important to get some answers while things are, you know, just gather the information. Even if you're not making definite decisions, have people gather the information for you. I think that's really important.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because, like, you know, as you're sitting here talking, you know, I'm just thinking like, well, you know, you've rescheduled your wedding, but inevitably that date, the original date, is going to come, and you're going to be home, and, you know, what you originally planned isn't going to happen. So, you know, I would maybe like encourage couples as well. Like, you know, when that date comes, do something, you know, together to celebrate.
Yeah. Say, it makes me think of my couple, Brittany and Kieran, who are going to get married on March 22nd. They will always be part of my memory of this, because in all the calls that I made, she was calm and thoughtful about what was going on. And then she said, you know, Margaret, I'm the winner. I am the winner. I'm going to marry my person, and forever is a long time. So we're going to be together, and we're going to get through this, and we're going to get married eventually. So I'm just going to keep my eye on that. That is a really tough thing to see through all of this. But at the end of the day, it is the truth, right?
Yeah.
You still have your person. So I hope everyone can take a moment and think about what Brittany said to me and see that, yeah, that is it. It's the details are changing, but the love is not. So hold on to the things that you know for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. Well, we are almost out of time for today, but before I leave, first of all, I want to thank you for being here. I think all of your suggestions and all of your insights, I mean, you know, with 3,200 weddings under your belt, you definitely know what you're talking about.
Thank you so much.
But before I go, I like to do something with our guests called the 5 fun questions. So this is sort of like a little bit of
fun.
A lightning round. Yeah. So I have a couple questions here, and I'll just start with the first one. What was the last nice thing you did for someone outside of helping them reschedule their weddings?
Yeah. Well, something really great that's happening to me every day, including today, is we are feeding our staff and their families at our venues. So we don't have hours for the event staff right now because of what's going on, but they can come to our two of our locations and pick up a really beautiful meal for them and their families every single day. And not only has that been wonderful, like for the actual of like feeding other people, but seeing all of our staff every day come up, we are social distancing, don't you worry. But it's been so uplifting for, I think, all of us. We happen to have the best staff on earth, and just the graciousness and the happiness that they come and every day, it's just been so wonderful. So it's been something great that nice that we've been doing for them, but really something nice that they've been giving back to us too.
Yeah. Oh, it's so wonderful to see like how the community is coming together, you know, with all this, and, you know, like, you know, you're not only feeding their body, but you're feeding their soul as well. So I think it's really wonderful that you guys are doing that. So my second question is, how did you get into this field?
How did I get into this field? Okay. So I've only ever been in hospitality, starting my first job at Yogurt and Such when I was 16. But when I was in college, I went to Siena for English communications. And when I lived on Long Island with my family, and I was coming down on Amtrak my junior year, and a man sitting next to me, he said, "What are you going to be when you graduate?" You know, that "what are you going to be when you grow up" question. And everyone I knew had an answer. Everyone I went to school with, all my friends, "I'm going to be a pharmacist. I'm going to be an accountant." And I had no idea. What am I going to do with English communications?
Yeah.
And he said, "What are you good at? What do you like doing?" And I said, "I am a really great waitress." And he said, "Okay, well, then there's your answer." He said, "Be a great waitress. Be the best waitress. Be the best waitress in New York. Be the best waitress in the country. And if you do what you love and you're great at it, that's going to bring you money."
Wow.
I was like, okay. And it was like the best piece of advice I've ever received from anyone in my life. And I followed that in every single choice that I have made career-wise, answering those two questions. Am I going to be great at it? And am I going to enjoy it? And
wow,
it just led me. Yeah. It led me from step to step to step, from waitress to trainer, corporate trainer, sales assistant, sales manager, director of sales. Every single step was answering those two questions.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible. I mean, isn't it like funny how like the, you know, that person wasn't just a random stranger. Like I feel like you were meant to see that person that day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that everyone kind of, they, especially in school, you know, there's so much uncertainty of that question of like, what am I going to do? It's amazing, especially in the hospitality industry, what doors can open from entry-level jobs. It is incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah. And I mean, when you're passionate about something, you know, as you are with this, I mean, it just shows. And, you know, it almost kind of feels like you're not even working at all because you're enjoying yourself so much.
Yeah.
Now, what is something about you that people may not know?
Oh, dear. I'm like an open book. I was called to come on down and be the next contestant on The Price is Right. That is a true story.
Really? Oh, my gosh. That's incredible. Yeah. How was it?
It was incredible. It was all that it's cracked up to be. If you're ever in the Los Angeles area and want to go to that taping, it's so great.
Wow. That's awesome. That's like something on my bucket list. Like that's really cool.
Oh my gosh, do it. Yeah.
Gosh, did you actually get up on the stage?
I sure did. I actually won a contestant search at Yonkers Raceway. You know, they have those like open casting calls.
Yeah.
So I won that and then got flown out to Los Angeles and went there, and I didn't know that I was going to be on the show, but you know, I got flown to be in the audience. And then first time they're calling out names, Margaret Brower, come on down. I ran and then I won the contestant row the first time. I actually did the running man on stage in front of Drew Carey. One of my shining moments.
Oh my God. Everybody has their 15 minutes of fame.
Yep. That was mine. That was totally mine.
Oh my gosh. What game did you play when you got up there?
Well, my husband and I were in the process of like looking at homes. And when, you know, you think about everything, down payment on a house and all these things. And they said, Margaret Brower, how would you like to win? And these humongous $16,000 numbers in green sequins appeared. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is my down payment here.
Wow.
And so it was a grocery game where you have to match the pricing to the grocery. Sadly, I'm a gambler. So when I got to 4,000, the audience was like, stop, you know? And I was like, I'm here to play.
Oh
and
my God.
Gone went my $4,000, but I was already a winner. I was already there.
Yeah. I mean, how many people can get to say that they've been on the stage and The Price is Right? Like that's incredible.
Yeah. It was really fun.
So actually speaking of bucket list, what is something on your bucket list?
What is something on my bucket list? You know what I really want to do? I have two girls. They're 5 and 8 years old. And my husband and I, we really want to bring them to Italy.
Mm.
And in spite of what's going on, I want to bring them there even more. I want to show that after all this is done, that's something that I definitely want to do.
Yeah. Oh, Italy's a beautiful country. They'll love it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So last question. What is your favorite hobby or pastime?
So I think that My hobby is celebrating. That's what I love to do. So because I see so many people celebrating with their loved ones so often here, that when I'm at home, I just like to celebrate. My kids and I, we have dance parties and singing parties. And yeah, and I like make like for lunch, I'll bring out like little plates and have like a little impromptu party for no reason.
Aww.
Because I think that life is something to celebrate.
Oh, absolutely. And it's those little things that they're going to remember.
I got that from my mom. My mom always made everything special. So I try to do that for my kids.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. Well, those were the five questions that went by pretty fast.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, again, I just want to thank you so much for your time and your insights. And where can people find out more about Bonora Hospitality Group? Because I like to link that into our show notes.
Oh, great. Okay. So the best place to go would be BonoraWeddings.com, B-O-N-U-R-A, weddings.com. And that'll bring you to a page where you could look at all of our venues, the Grandview, West Hills Golf and Country Club, Anthony's Pier 9, the Poughkeepsie Grand Hotel, Shadows on the Hudson, Blue Point Restaurants. And if you ever want to call me, I'm happy to give you information on any of those. And it's 845-486-4700.
All right. Well, I hope you found this episode very helpful, and I hope that you have some clarity now as you move forward with rescheduling your wedding. And as always, if you have a wedding planning question that you'd like answered on the show, definitely send them along. You could reach us on Instagram and Facebook at SBS Wedding Prep. And if you're a Hudson Valley bride, you could also check us out on www.weddingconnectionshv.com and on Instagram at WedConnectHV. So until next time, happy planning.